Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the show. Andy Reid pointing out that they had a pretty healthy load in there for Le'Veon Bell, so that's good. We will now talk to Matt Derrick from, I don't know what that was for, talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing well, Stephen. How are you this morning?
Good. Not that Andy Reid is ever surly, but it kind of seemed like Andy was in a somewhat jovial mood yesterday, better mood than he's been in the past couple of weeks. Did you pick up on that at all?
Hey, 27-point win should do that for you, and when you've just added an all-pro running back to your lineup. So, yeah, I think you've got reason to be a little bit jovial these days.
He did sound tickled when he talked about going back and watching the film and seeing Le'Veon Bell and how he looked. I mean, you had to. I mean, right off the bat, he comes in there and has that 16-yard run. And, I mean, as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire has looked. And then you get Le'Veon Bell, hopefully with plenty of juice left. Boy, it's got to put a smile on your face if you're the head coach, Matt Derrick. And something that we were talking about yesterday, and then I saw some people on ESPN, I think Dan Orlovsky talked about this. I liken it to what the Patriots were able to do for so long. They can morph into whatever type of offense or whatever type of game plan that they need to succeed that certain week. They could play your game and they could beat you. Now, will it always be successful? Are they going to lose some games? Sure. We saw that against the Raiders, but they could beat you in a shootout. They could beat you in a backyard brawl when you're just trying to run the football and play defense. This is very, very exciting. Of course it was exciting to see him in 2018 and that high-flying offense, but to me this is more exciting because this is a complete team that can win in any number of different ways, and like I said, they can morph into whatever they need that specific week. And boy, and that's when you really got something. That can lead to longevity and something that's sustainable and something that should be very exciting and successful to watch over the next few seasons, Matt.
Yeah, and that's clearly something that, Andy Reid's been trying to bring to this offense over the last couple of seasons. I still don't know how much of 2018 and how that offense ran was purely dictated by just how the defense played or whether that offense just only had one speed. But now they've got multiple speeds. I mean, and you're absolutely right. I mean, they can play any game. What they have to avoid is letting the opponent set the terms of the game. And I think they've done that on occasion this season. I mean, whether it's playing just down to the level of the opponent or just letting the other team, really kind of just set the tone of the game, they've got to avoid that. But this team can do it all. I mean, I don't see a whole lot of weaknesses on this team right now, especially offensively, unless it's a weakness that they put on themselves by just not bringing their A game that week.
So I did, I'm going to name drop here, guys, but I did an interview with Art Haynes down in Springfield yesterday.
Oh.
And his co-host, he didn't even tell me his name, but he said, my co-host over here is young and is unimpressed by the way the Chiefs played. He thinks that they are showing some real problems on offense right now. And I said, oh, how old is he? And he said, 25 years old. I said, oh, so he doesn't remember what it's really like to go to Denver. He doesn't have the perspective of knowing that if you're icing a game out with your bench in the 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, how remarkable that is. And the kid's response was, yep, still not impressed. I thought, boy, we got some people that are real spoiled.
Right there, I hang up the phone. Right there in the interview, I hang up the phone, and they're talking to a dial tone. Jake, am I wrong? That's when you slam down that receiver and say, well, yeah. I'm on a cell phone. So slam down your cell phone. Matt, Derek, I know that's exactly what you would do, wouldn't you? You'd hang up on Springfield and never talk to him again.
I am never hanging up on Art Haynes,
right?
Because I grew up on Art Haynes.
Right.
Not on him, on that kid.
Right.
On that 25-year-old, yeah. You hang up on him, then you call back and talk to Art Haynes.
No, I shoot Art.
You get that guy, off the air, Art, and then I'll talk to you.
That's right. No, sorry, Art. I had to do that, you know, shoot him a text. My bad on you. It's not your fault, but that kid, time to shake him.
But you know what? When you're 25, you don't have much of a frame of reference as to how special this is.
Well, also, you're not listening to your elders tell you about the suffering that happened.
Did you listen to your elders a lot when you were 25, Jake?
Depends on which elders there were.
The point is, I think the reason Andy Reid was so giddy yesterday is because he knows how good his offense is. And he's winning games without it right now. He's like, he's got that thing in third gear, in my opinion, and they're still winning games comfortably. Now, I know the Buffalo game could have been a little less comfortable had that fumble happened by Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but if he needs that offense, it's there. Don't you think, Matt? I mean, isn't that part of the reason he's so excited right now?
I think that, but I think he's also just giddy because he just knows that his team could score in any different way. I mean, you heard it in that clip. I mean, he's like, okay, yeah, you know what? Scored 43 points, and we only got to run 40 offensive plays. You know, I mean, and you know, we talk about teams scripting, you know, the first, you know, especially Andy Reid's West Coast offense, you know, first 15, 20 plays. They don't like halftime on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a big reason why he's getting it. He knows that he's got a complete team that can do it all. I mean, he doesn't have to lean on Patrick Mahomes every single week. He can sometimes lead on the defense, and sometimes you can even lead on special teams.
Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is our guest. Matt, we talked a little bit about the missed extra points earlier in the show and how concerned we are. How concerned are you? Is this just a blip on the radar, or is this something that they're going to have to address in some fashion if it continues over the next couple of weeks?
I mean, I generally think it's a blip on the radar. And when you've got a kicker like Harrison Butker that you know can do it, I mean, you know, maybe this is just a little case of the yips that he's had lately where it's the chip shot easy ones that are the problem, but he's able to, you know, drain the 58-yarders and he's still pretty much rock solid from 40 in on the field goals. You know, and I know Dave Tobe has dismissed it, but I don't know how you can't go back and just, you know, wonder if a little bit of it is having to adjust to a new holder. Not that there's been necessarily anything wrong with Tommy Townsend and getting the hold down, but it's different. I mean, you know, the angles are a little bit different. The positioning can be a bit different. The timing can be a bit different. And that's all the, you know, extra points are. It's just, you know, rote information. I mean, you're just going out there and doing the routine of what you do every single time. And if you've got a rookie in there where maybe the hold isn't exactly the same and maybe the timing is not exactly the same every single time, that's where it's going to pop up. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think that's worth a consideration that maybe it's just a little bit of just the timing and the most routine play. But this is Harrison Butker. I mean, you know, he's enough automatic that I don't think that that's a huge concern. And until this, you know, costs the team a game, I don't think they're going to worry about it.
But, Matt, it's seven games now. I mean, this stretch of him struggling with extra points has gone almost half a season. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm not saying they need to cut bait right now. But they've got to at least be considering the possibility that this is a problem that gets worse. If it's dragged on for this long, don't they have to at least be ready? I mean, you can't – if this goes in – if we're like 4 weeks from now and we're 11 weeks in and he's still missing an extra point more than once every other game, isn't that something that has to start to become more of a conversation piece? I mean, they've got to at least be considering it from that standpoint, don't they?
Yeah, and maybe it's the terminology. I would say that they're probably worried but not scared. I mean, they don't think this is going to be something that's going to be a long-term problem. Are they working on it? Yeah, I mean, you get every indication that this is something that they're continuing to work on. And knowing Dave Tobe, yeah, I absolutely, this is something that he's going to continue to hammer away at and try to eliminate. So, but yeah, I don't think this is not something where they're thinking, oh, good grief, we need to make a change with our kicker or anything. You know, I think it's just simply that there's a fundamental in the execution that's wrong right now for you to get these kind of results consistently. And so I think, you know, Harrison Butker's the kind of kicker that, one, I don't think he's going to rest until they get it figured out. But two, I just can't imagine that this is something with him that's not correctable. I mean, you know, is it just something purely psychological? I mean, it could be. I mean, we've seen it in a lot of sports where sometimes the most routine plays just get in your head, and that's what an extra point is. It's, you know, just the easy toss to first base. I think they're worried, but I don't think it's to the point of where this is the absolute number one concern on this team or anything.
Matt, would you describe Nate as an alarmist?
Only in regards, I think, to Harrison Butker, but everything else, you know, Nate is pretty level-headed and calm. So,
right.
I'm Chicken Little here. The sky is falling.
Just wanted to clarify that.
All right, I've got one for you guys.
Oh boy, this sounds promising.
Nick Kizer. Why?
Nick Kizer had a lot of bad luck on Sunday. I mean, he's somebody I know that the Chiefs, you know, really do believe in. I mean, he's as a role player.
Looks like he's got a lot of bad hands, too.
But, you know, I mean, I come back and I looked at a couple of the two plays that he had that were the roughest. And one, you know, on the fumble, give it to the defender. I mean, you know, he punched that ball out. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot Kizer could do on that play, especially in those conditions. I think a lot of guys would have lost the ball in that situation. You saw the exact same play later, you know, that Turk Wharton made. And, you know, conversely, you know, Chiefs fans given a lot of credit to Wharton for that play and none of the blame on the ball carrier. But, you know, Kizer, on the other hand, gets all of it. And then the other one, I mean, that was just a total offensive miscommunication flub, because there's absolutely zero way that you're saying, you know what, we're going to have Nick Kizer go one-on-one with Bradley Chubb. I mean, that was not his fault. I mean, that was clearly a misread and a miscommunication on the offensive line.
You know, and Brent Veach has been fantastic. Trust me, I'm, you know, this is not, he's been right more than he's been wrong, but it has been, it's been interesting. It's been a while. It's been several swings at trying to fix that backup tight end position, and they've missed a lot. I had higher hopes for Ricky Seals-Jones, and he can't even get on the field, really. And then Kizer's had his issues. We all know how they tried to absolutely force Demetrius Harris and that square peg into a round hole, and finally they gave up on that. It's bizarre. They're able to get so many other things right, but they've really struggled at filling out that tight end depth chart. Thankfully, Kelce hasn't been injured, so you haven't really had to go. I mean, Blake Bell's all right, but he had his issues. It's just interesting. They have not been able. They've tried so many different names at that spot, and they haven't had a whole lot of success.
You know, and I take it from a different direction. I do think that that's the one area where I'm just the most puzzled that the Chiefs and Brett Veach haven't tried to address, which is, you know, finding that guy that if Travis Kelce is going to go down for multiple weeks, that you've got somebody who can fill in that spot. And they really haven't ever done that, because what they've always kind of done with that second and third tight end position, for them, it's been, okay, we need somebody who can block. We need somebody who's going to be a special teams ace. And if they can catch the ball and contribute every once in a while, that's a bonus. That's great. Because that's what Demetrius Harris was. I mean, you know, he's one of their best special teams players. They felt like he was a guy who could just, you know, kind of stick his nose in there and maybe chip a little bit. And, hey, if he gave you any offense, fantastic. And that's what they were looking for from Blake Bell. That's what they clearly have been looking for from this current, you know, tight end group. They haven't been looking for somebody to go out there and, you know, catch 36 balls a season or do anything like that. They've just been looking for somebody who can play special teams, block a little bit, maybe catch a passer once in a while. I do think it's going to catch up with them at some point. I mean, if you lose Travis Kelce off this offense for 4 to 6 weeks or for a postseason, that's a game changer. I mean, he's a huge part of this offense. I think you can, as this team has shown, you can lose Tyreek Hill. You can lose Sammy Watkins. Now you could probably lose Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You can lose some of those guys, and they've got pieces to fill in. I don't know who replaces Travis Kelce if he goes down.
I realize I started this conversation, but my God, we're spoiled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
the biggest thing we found to gripe about is the backup tight end.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've relied on the backup tight end in a couple of big situations over the years.
And they keep throwing in the ball. I guess that was my question. I mean, Kizer had a huge drop earlier this season. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, they've had so much success at other positions. I just think it's interesting that they've kind of like linebacker. I mean, linebacker, they've thrown a lot of money, and hopefully this is – because I like the way Harris has played, and Hitchens had some moments, and Gay looked good. That's as good as I've felt about the linebacking situation in a while. But, look, if backup tight end or second tight end is your worst problem on the offense, you are probably Super Bowl champions, and they are. Matt Derrick is our guest. All right, Matt, I'm not going to ask you if they're going to win. But Jake wants to know if the Chiefs will cover on Sunday.
You know what? I'm going to have to bet no, because I know I saw it the other day. Well, it was 21.5. I don't know if it's changed since then. But of the seven biggest lines, bigger than that in NFL history, all of those teams have won, but only one covered. I mean, this is going to be a huge number to try and cover. And yeah, they did. They would have done it Sunday against the Broncos, but you know, Andy Reid's not normally the kind of guy that's just going to want to embarrass the team. So I mean, unless the Jets just force the Chiefs to cover, I don't know that they will. I wouldn't bet on them to cover because I think it's just going to be too big of a number.
Jake, what do you think about Matt's advice there?
You know what? I love that stat that you just dropped, the seven higher spreads, only one of them covered. Yeah. Right now, it's currently sitting at 19.
That's incredible.
Oh.
That's why I figured the line would move down. Because
it has.
At this point, the smart money would absolutely be on the Jets right now.
So, Matt, hypothetically speaking, as I look at this 19-point spread, does that 2 points make any difference to you?
It makes a little bit. I mean,
right?
I'd be a little bit less likely to bet the Jets, but I'd still have a hard time betting on 19 in the NFL.
I just did not. I want to lock this in right now. I mean,
that's what he got, 19, ladies and gentlemen. He waited a day, and he's very excited. Right,
you wait for that number. I mean, yeah, you get 2.5 points. That's pretty big, because that number could go back up again.
It happened to me last week. I waited till it dropped down to 7, because earlier in the week it was 9.5. It dropped to 7. I mean, it didn't matter, because the Chiefs just beat the pants off the Broncos. But, you know, I got the lower number, right? Isn't that
hey,
what
guys,
we all want?
Leave it to the Border Patrol to find ways to make this Chiefs-Jets game interesting and exciting.
19 points just made it interesting.
Yeah,
Matt,
maybe.
Before we let you go, and I don't want to blindside you with something, but did you hear us talking about what happened last night on Monday Night Football with Brian Griese divulging what apparently was a conversation with Nick Foles that wasn't supposed to make it onto the broadcast, and it did, and the Matt Nagy got confronted? Did you see all that?
I've seen a lot of the coverage. I didn't hear everything you guys were talking about it, though.
So I'm just curious. So what would you be your biggest gripe before we let you go if you're a Bears fan? The fact that Matt Nagy is calling plays that Nick Foles doesn't think will work, that Nick Foles is telling Brian Griese that in a conversation that may or may not have been on the record, or that Brian Griese is taking that to Monday Night Football as being a former quarterback and pretty much throwing Nick Foles under the bus and telling him what he said about Matt Nagy's play calling. Who's the biggest fault here?
I mean, if I'm a Bears fan, my biggest fault is with Nick Foles. I mean, you just don't do that. I mean, you can't throw your coach under the bus. And if it's real, you know, if it's a matter of just, you know, it's not that he thinks that the bad play calls, but just the fact that they don't have the offensive line and the personnel to pull it off. I mean, yeah, that's an issue.
So maybe the O-line's not thrilled with Nick Foles this morning either.
I'd be upset with that. As a journalist, I'm pretty ticked off at Greasy because, you know, I think we've been seeing a lot more of it, is, you know, sometimes that some of this off-the-record information from production meetings making it on air. And I think that hurts all of us because it just makes these coaches and the players, you know, much less likely to tell any of us anything. So that's great information sometimes, but yeah, you got to be careful with how you tell that out, because right now, if I'm an NFL player, an NFL coach, I'm not telling Brian Greasy anything.
I ain't saying nothing to Greasy. If I'm a quarterback, he comes up to me in a product like, I ain't saying nothing to you. What's up, Greasy? No, thank you.
I wouldn't even tell him who we're playing this week.
Right.
I don't know.
I pull my mask over my face and say, 6 feet. Gotta go.
Hey, Matt, tell people where they can read all your coverage of the Chiefs, please.
Check me out at ChiefsDigest.com. You can always find me on Twitter at Matt Derrick, and you can find Chiefs Digest on Facebook.
That's our man, Matt Derrick, from ChiefsDigest.com. Thanks, Matt. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That's Matt Derrick. Always good to have Matt on the show. Back after this on WHB.